E.M. Bounds has this to say. He says, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better machinery, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use. Men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. As we continue through the Sermon on the Mount, we come to the topic of prayer. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Matthew 6, verse 5, the words of Jesus. And Jesus says, and when you pray, didn't he just say, and when you give? He did. And we just talked about how giving for a believer is just like breathing. It's just something we do as one who has encountered the love of God. That it so impacted us that we now share that love. We give that love in so many different ways. And now Jesus is saying, when you pray, prayer for a believer is like breathing. It's the inhale and the exhale of the life of a Christian. So Jesus says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. But I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Notice again, there are rewards for doing life God's way. There are rewards for coming into agreement with God's way, the way He's established things from the very beginning. We talked about that with giving last week. When we get God's perspective on giving and serving and loving, there are rewards, there are benefits that come out of that kind of life. Same thing with prayer. We're finding out. He rewards those who come to Him in secret and humbly come before Him. And He continues in verse 7 of chapter 6. And when you pray, Jesus says, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So Jesus is continuing in His sermon with this exhortation to grab hold of God's heart in this area of prayer. In these statements, Jesus is clearly calling us not to pray just in order to impress others. It's not what it's about. Just like Jesus exhorted us not to give and not to do good deeds just to impress others. Prayer is never supposed to be a platform to draw attention to ourselves. Prayer is not a performance. Prayer is a sacred gift. Let me say that again. Prayer is a sacred gift that God has given us in order to build and to enjoy our relationship with Him. A sacred gift that He's given us to build and to enjoy our relationship with Him. Augustine, the great church leader, says this. He says, it was your Lord who put an end to long-windedness so that you would not pray as if you wanted to teach God by your many words. Piety, not verbosity, is in order when you pray, since He knows your needs. Now someone perhaps will say, but if God knows our needs, why should we state our requests even in a few words? Why should we pray at all? Since He knows, let Him give what He deems necessary for us. Even so, God wants you to pray so that He may confer His gifts on one who really desires them and will not regard them lightly. Prayer. Today we're going to begin a 4-week kind of mini-series within the Sermon on the Mount series. We're going to begin a 4-week discussion about prayer. This week we're going to focus on the what and the when of our personal prayer life. Next week, we're going to unpack the Lord's Prayer. We're going to discuss the how of prayer and some different types of prayer. The third week in our mini-series on prayer, we're going to be covering corporate prayer and intercession. The importance of the body of Christ coming together in the place of prayer and what happens as a result. It's pretty astounding. And then finally, we're going to finish up this four-week discussion on prayer as we move into talking about ministering prayer and prayer evangelism. It's going to be exciting. We are called to enjoy God through a lifestyle of prayer. That's the title of this sermon. That's the title of this little mini-series on prayer within the Sermon on the Mount. A lifestyle of prayer. And we're going to talk specifically about personal prayer this morning. So the question is, what is personal prayer? Let's get right to the definition. This is how I see God presenting it in His Word. Personal prayer is conversation with God. If you don't learn anything else or get anything else out of this time together this morning, just know this. Personal prayer that you are gifted to participate in. Personal prayer is conversation with God. It involves talking and listening, and that's some of us need to remember that. It involves talking and listening. Requesting and receiving. Personal prayer involves worshiping. It involves singing and dancing. Is that part of your personal prayer life when you're alone with God? Do you find yourself jumping up and down, singing and dancing? I got to tell you what, Friday in my time in the prayer room, I take 2 hours every Friday, 2 hours every Wednesday, block it out. Nobody else is allowed to come. I love you, but it's my time with God. It's called His Time, capital H-I-S, His Time. I got that blocked out. I found myself in there on Friday. I was jumping up and down, screaming and yelling and saying, how good you are, God, how good you are. Wow, because He was speaking to me. Personal prayer, conversation with God. Yes, He talks back. And the things He has to say will blow your mind and bless your socks off. Personal prayer, singing, dancing, meditating, and even studying His written word. When I'm talking about meditating, I'm talking about meditating on God. Meditating on His word, on His truth. Personal prayer is how God hears from us and how we hear from Him. It's a conversation with God. Look to the person next to you and just have a short conversation. Hi, how you doing? How you feel this morning? That's it. That's our prayer life. Personal conversation. We talk, we share, we listen. We get blessed. I see so many smiles. Just that little exercise. People are smiling in the room, man. Relationship. It's good. Personal prayer. It's a relationship with God where we humbly communicate with the living God, the Creator, the One who gives us breath every single moment of every single day. We get to seek His face knowing that He hears us and that He loves us and that He answers us. This is personal prayer, and we are blessed to participate in this every moment of every day. We're going to talk about that. So do you long for closeness with God? Do you? Do you long to hear His voice? I mean, really know what God has to say. Do you long to know the plans and the purposes that God has for your life individually? Do you? Pray. Have conversation with God. You'll find yourself close to Him. You'll find yourself hearing His voice. And you'll find yourself knowing your plan and purpose. What a joy. I want to talk a little bit about what prayer is not before we roll forward. Prayer is not magic. It's not like throwing pixie dust or waving a wand. Prayer is not magical. It's not. Prayer does not make demands. It's not demanding the Creator to do something. Prayer is not a duty. Some people think that, well, Jesus says, when you pray, that means it's a duty, I have to pray. No, we're missing the heart of God in that if we go that direction. Prayer is not a duty. It's a gift. We already talked about that. It's a gift. Prayer is not a guarantee against suffering. We live in a broken world. But we have a relationship with the living God that we can go to and talk to Him about that and bring our needs and requests before Him. And He's good. He's good. Prayer is not a way to get stuff. It's not a way to earn points with God. That's not what prayer is. And prayer, as Jesus is teaching us this morning, it's not an opportunity to show off. That's not prayer. Prayer is also not optional for a believer. Remember, Jesus said, when you pray, not if you pray. When you pray, it's not optional. Personal prayer is our personal and dynamic interaction with God. It's our heart-level conversation with God. So that's personal prayer in a nutshell. We got to keep moving on here. We got 4 weeks to talk about prayer. That's not a lot of time. I only had 2 weeks initially, but as we started unpacking this on Monday morning and studying everything, I'm like, we got to double the time on this. We got to go 4 weeks on prayer. Whew, it's good stuff. Prayer is good stuff. And I want us to catch this. Now listen, when we come and we listen to God's word and we hear Pastor Eric preach, what I don't want to do is like, I don't want people to think, well, that's just part of church. That's just part of Sunday morning. We just go on Sunday and we get to worship and encounter the presence of God in worship, and we get to see how God's moving in our fellowship through the gifts of the Spirit and through testimonies. And oh, I love that. And then Eric speaks and I have to listen to the sermon because that's what we do. We go to church and we have to listen to the pastor. And then at the end, we get to go play football, right, kids, out on the lawn. That's fun. I want us to make sure that as we're listening to the Word of God, because that's what this is. This is the Word of God, that we're taking it in and we're letting it change us. We're letting it wow us. We're grabbing hold of it. I mean, for real. And we're walking in this. Because when that happens, then it's just not some goosebumps you get on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night prayer meeting or whatever. I mean, this is an everyday, every moment part of life, man, as we grab hold and live this stuff out for real. So we've talked a little bit about what is personal prayer, that conversation with God. But when do we pray? That's the second question I have in my notes. When do we pray? When do we have this personal conversation with God? Let me begin this part of the discussion by stating that prayer is not a once-a-day thing. Rather, it's just what we do. Prayer is a lifestyle. Remember, that's the title of this mini-series on prayer, a lifestyle of prayer. Not just a once-a-day deal. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to the church in Thessalonica. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. And you know what he tells the church? And he's telling it to us, are we the church? We're the church. So he's telling us this right now. When should we pray? When should we pray? And the Apostle Paul says, pray continually. Other versions say, pray without ceasing. Never stop your conversation with God. The Apostle Paul wants us to understand that prayer is not simply an everyday occurrence. Rather, prayer is an every moment reality. Let me say that again. Prayer is an every moment reality. Every moment. Without ceasing. Continual. Always in conversation. Always in connection. Always in relationship with the living God. What a gift. It is a gift. Prayer, when applied to our lives the way God intended it to be, is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week conversation with God. We're called to this lifestyle of prayer. But how? It sounds really cool. It sounds awesome. But I got a job. I've got meetings I got to go to. I've got a whole house full of kids that I got to take care of. I got a lawn that needs to be mowed. I do, by the way, Grant, backyard. I fixed the lawnmower yesterday and put gas in it. It ran out of gas. He has a great excuse, okay? But I put gas in it when you were at the ballgame last night, so we're all good to go. There's life happens. There's stuff we got to do. So how in the world can I have this continual, ongoing, never-stopping conversation with God? Sounds impossible, but it's not. It's not. How many of you have, well, I'm not going to say how many have kids, but how many have a kid like this? That, like, especially you dads, you come home, and it's like everywhere you go, you got this little kid of yours just following you, like shadowing you around. I mean, everything you're doing, listening to every conversation, you can't get away. Yet you're still doing things, but they're there, and you know it, and they know it. And anyway, that's just a picture. I mean, we can be that way with God. I mean, we can just be shadowing Him, and Him shadowing us, and us always. Anyway, let's move forward. How do we do this? How do we have this ongoing, continual, never-stopping conversation with God? The first thing is number one, we begin where we are. Start the conversation where you are. God is calling us to come to Him and to talk with Him and to spend time with Him and to relate with Him right now where we are and in the condition that we're in too. We don't need to clean ourselves up before we come to God and get in His presence. We can't clean ourselves up enough to come before a holy God. It's impossible. It's the same thing with salvation. You didn't clean yourself all up and then come before the Lord and say, I am clean and worthy. Make me your child. If you did, come talk to me after the service. No. We came to God broken, full of sin, full of yuck, full of mess, dirty. And we came before the living God and we threw ourselves at His feet and we cried out for the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ to come and to rescue us and to forgive us and to clean us and to save us and now to continue to sanctify us and to finish and complete His work in us. And so the same thing with prayer. We got to throw away these crazy ideas that we get that, man, I got to know how to pray more. I got to study prayer more. I got to figure this out and I'm just not good at it. So I don't want to come before God. I'll embarrass Him, embarrass me. It just won't happen. I don't know how this whole thing works. And you know what? I did some wrong things today. I thought some wrong things today. And so I'm just going to kind of hide from God for a while. Isn't that what Adam and Eve did? Did it get them anywhere? No. No. But God is so good. He went after them when they were hiding, and He's coming after you right now saying, hey, come before me. Come talk to me. I want to spend time with you. Oh, that other stuff, that'll all be dealt with. Don't worry about that. Just come. Come talk to me. Begin where we are. Jesus. It's in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18 if you want to turn there. Luke 18. Gives these kind of parables. He tells a story in Luke chapter 18, and we're going to begin in verse 10. Jesus tells his story. He says, look, two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, that's the religious person, supposed to have everything together, know what to do, right? The religious person, the Pharisee, stood up and he prayed about himself. He said, God, this is my Pharisee voice, God, or God, I thank you. I thank you that I'm not like the other men. Robbers and evildoers, those adulterers. Or even that tax collector over there. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. Look at me. God, I'm so good. And aren't you just so lucky to be talking to me right now? The Pharisee. And then Jesus continues in verse 13. He says, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast. And he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm not right. I'm far from you, but I'm coming before you. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And Jesus says, I tell you that this man, that tax collector, that humble man who came before the Lord just as he was, this man, rather than the other religious guy, this man who was humble went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Prayer is not about impressing God. So don't think you got to have it all together. So don't think you have to go impress God. Don't think you have to wait to have a conversation with God until you can impress Him. Don't wait until you think, well, I got to have this prayer list all in place and categorized and organized, and then I'll come before the Lord and it's going to be this way and that way because I don't want to waste any of God's time. I believe God is saying to somebody in here, waste my time, please. Waste my time. Just come before me right now with nothing other than yourself and your heart. Waste my time. Come as you are. Fancy, eloquent words won't change the fact that God knows you. He knows you. And He loves you. Be real with Him, not disrespectful with Him. He is God. But be real with Him. Have a conversation with your Creator. Come to Him today as you are and pray. Talk to Him. Cry with Him. And listen to Him. Personal prayer. It's a gift. The Pharisee in this parable wasn't real with God, trying to impress others, trying to impress God, walked away, got nothing. I believe Jesus just about said, I don't want to put words in the mouth of Jesus, this is really scary, but I believe, especially my condition this morning with my stomach and all, I believe, you know, Jesus basically said, this guy just about made God throw up. But the tax collector was humble and was real. He came to God as he was, cried out to God. Just as he was, he came to God. Says, here I am. Have mercy on me. I'm here. I'm coming before you. He received the ultimate gift of justification, the ultimate reward. God has rewards, gifts, benefits, blessings for us when we just come before Him as we are. Humbly come before Him. God is waiting for us to cry out to Him. And when we do, He answers. I decided later this week that I wanted to read a prayer that I prayed and wrote down. It was just over a week ago in the prayer room. And it was a week ago Friday or Wednesday. You know, you've heard me saying a lot about how, you know, I want us to experience more of God's peace and more of His joy. Well, some of the reasons I'm saying that is because I'm processing these things also. And this is the cry of my heart. I want to experience more of God's peace. I want to experience joy. And I'm tired of the enemy having me walking around being down and being critical and feeling like things are all messed up and not enjoying life and not enjoying relationships and not enjoying what He has for me. There's no reason for that. No reason whatsoever other than there's something wrong. And so I've been going before the Lord on this in my personal prayer time, crying out to Him. What's wrong? What's the root? What's going on? And I want to share with you kind of what God did in that process of coming before Him. Just as I was broken, not understanding why I don't have peace and why I'm being robbed of joy and why I'm frustrated way too often. I walked in the prayer room and I sat down in my cushy chair. Rick, in my cushy chair, it's the better looking, better conditioned, big cushy one in the prayer room. And I sat down in my chair and I put my phone on the stereo and I turned on the music and I looked over at the bookcase and a book. These words jumped out of the bookcase and became like 500 point font or bigger and kept getting bigger and bigger like they were just going to hit me over the head. And the words were, get out of that pit. Get out of that. There's the book. I took a picture of it on Friday. Get out of that pit. So I began praying. And this is some of what came out. Get out of that pit, Eric. You're not a pit dweller. I'm not. I'm a child of God who is climbing the mountain and living on the mountain with my Lord and Savior. I will not accept the pit any longer. And then the Lord began to identify some things in my life that I needed to come out of agreement with. And this is what happened. I began to pray these things. I reject the lies of the enemy that are robbing me of joy and peace. I reject the condemnation from the enemy that says I'm not good enough. I reject the lie of loneliness that tries to isolate me and trick me. I reject the hurt and effects of a critical spirit. If I cry, it's because this is very fresh right now, okay? I reject the hurt and effects of a critical spirit. I reject the lie that I have to have all the answers and that my performance defines me. I reject the impulses to defend myself. And I reject the spirit of pride that builds walls between me and God and me and my wife. I choose to enjoy the fullness of God and all that He has for me. I choose to enjoy my wife. I choose to enjoy my children. Joy is my portion. I choose to love my wife as Christ loves the church and how He loves Velvet. I choose to show my wife love when she fails, when she misspeaks, when she's too busy, when she's tired. I choose love at all times. This is my heart. This is my desire. This is literally the cry of my heart. I choose humility and love, and I continue on. God is waiting for us to cry out to Him. And when we do, He has answers. And He's willing to reveal to us what we need to see and what we need to know. He's willing to work in our lives. Be real with God. Don't wait until you have the right words. Don't wait until you have it all figured out, because you won't. You need to hear from the living God. You need what only He can give you. He's ready for you. And He's ready for what you have to bring Him. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He's ready. He's a big boy. He can handle it. And He doesn't disappoint. He doesn't. When we understand this and actually respond in this way, it brings freedom. It brings newness of life. I mean, the real deal, it really happens. It's not just a bunch of ideas or thoughts or words in a book. It's real life with the real God of the universe. So that's number one. How do we do this? Just come to Him as you are. The second thing is, don't compartmentalize prayer. How do we experience this ongoing, always communication and conversation with God? Don't compartmentalize it. We see, we hear these warnings a lot. In case of fire, break glass. Right? If chemical comes in contact with eyes, flush out with water immediately. In the event of a water landing, use seat cushion as a flotation device. And, you know, the warnings come and go, and we see them, and we look at them, and do we really pay attention? I mean, do these crises really ever happen? No, we see the warnings, we go, okay, whatever, and hopefully I'll remember what to do if any of this kind of stuff really happens. We don't give the instructions a second thought. They're only there in case of catastrophe. And sadly, many believers treat prayer the same way. Prayer is there if things get hard. Prayer is there when I need something. Prayer is there when my finances are low or when somebody's sick. When there's a crisis, when things are broken and not working the way I want them to, or I just want to have a better life, then I pray. But I have a question for us. What are we missing? If that's our perspective on prayer, if that's how we treat this sacred gift, what are we missing between the crises? What are you missing between this kid being sick or this need that you have and you have this? What are you missing? Do you want to find out? Pray. Ha! Pray. And keep praying. Make it your lifestyle. So we often compartmentalize prayer, though. We think that prayer is something that, you know, we do it in the morning because we're supposed to, because that's what, you know, the pastor says and all the books I read say, have your prayer time in the morning. So we do our prayer time, you know, and then we got to pray before we eat, especially when we're in a restaurant and we close our eyes so that everybody knows we're Christian, and we pray and we do that. And okay, we check that one off. And then we got to pray before we go to bed, and we got to pray if somebody's sick, and we have a prayer list if we're really religious, and we go through the prayer list and pray for everybody on our prayer list, and we make sure our kids know about it so that we're, you know, training them to pray this same way, this same compartmentalized way that we pray. If I step on a toe, I mean to. I really do. And so prayer becomes this compartment that we open up, that becomes this religious thing in our lives that we do, and that we make sure that people see that we're doing, and we make sure our kids see that we're doing, so that we can train them to also have this very regimented, compartmentalized conversation with God that only happens this way at these times in these circumstances. How many of you grew up that way? I'll just say it that way. Kids, don't raise your hands, only adults. How many of you adults who don't have parents in this room raised up kind of that way? That's how you learn to pray. That's how we learn to pray in the church. Because prayer has become compartmentalized. Because we've lost sight of what it really is. Prayer is our relationship with God. There are other components, but prayer is your relationship with God. And so to compartmentalize prayer is to compartmentalize your relationship with God, period. I only relate with God at these times, under these circumstances, with these terms. Is that what Christ hung on the cross for? Is that what the amazing gift we've been given? Just that? No. Is that God's plan for our lives? No. It's always the right time to pray. It's always the right time to hear from God. That's why Paul said, pray without ceasing. Pray continually. Never stop the conversation. Never disconnect. Never unplug. Never shut down. Which leads us to point number three. Number three, continue the conversation all day long. So, number one, man, we got to jump right into it. When's the right time to start this conversation? Right now. Just as you are. Start it right now. Right? Number two, the second one was that we don't compartmentalize prayer. We don't make prayer just another religious thing that we do, all compartmentalized. And then number three, we continue this conversation that we've started when we came before Him. We continue it all day long. We start in the morning and we go all day long. C.S. Lewis encourages us this. He says, quote, the moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. How many of you know that happens? All the wishes and hopes and all of the pain and junk of your life comes right at you. Jumps right in your brain, doesn't it? Everything you got to do. And the first job each morning consists in shoving it all back. In listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. How many are ready for that larger, quieter life? Yes. Start the conversation. The great man of God, John Bunyan, warns us that, quote, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find Him the rest of the day. I want to testify that that is true, for I live most of my life not able to find God. I mean, really find Him, really connect with Him, and really hear from Him. Because I started the day off letting the wildness of life come rushing in and going immediately to my to-do list. To find God after you're under a pile of junk, come on, nearly impossible. When I changed my thinking on all of this and then therefore changed my lifestyle, everything began to change. When I determined that as soon as I awaken, that I will begin my conversation with God and I will allow nothing else in, everything began to change. And so before my feet hit the ground, in fact, before I allow any other thoughts even to come into my mind, I am praying. I'm beginning that conversation with God, not in some religious way, but here I am, God, thank you. It's a new day. This is the day that you've made, and I'm so excited that I am a child of yours, God. What an exciting day this is going to be. Holy Spirit, I need you. I lean upon you. I choose this day to walk by you, Holy Spirit, and not by my flesh. I don't want anything to do with what my flesh wants to do with. I want everything to do with what you have for me and what you desire for me today. Come, Holy Spirit, I am yours. Come, come. And I just begin to pray and to cry out. And sometimes it's 5 minutes. Sometimes it's 45 minutes before I feel the freedom to put my feet on the ground and go in and take that shower and get going with the day. So if I'm late for a morning meeting, you can just know why. That's my excuse. Anyway. Prayer can even happen when you're not even awake. Okay, check this out. Everyone's going to go, okay, he's getting weird now. And I am, but that's all right. So when we begin to live a lifestyle of prayer, I mean, we begin to say yes to that ongoing, never-ending conversation with God. And we say, yeah, I'm going to invest in that kind of life. I am going to take hold of that sacred gift of prayer that God has for me, and I'm going to embrace it. And so we start saying, you know what? I'm not thinking about anything else until I do time with God, until I'm spending time with God, until I hear from Him. I'm not walking in my own strength. And then you begin talking to Him. He starts speaking to you, directing you. And so you're asking Him all day long, yeah, what about this? What about this? And so everything you're doing, man, you're always talking with God. I mean, you're not making a business decision without hearing from the Lord. And you know what? You will, because He's there and you're talking with Him and you're communicating with Him. Maybe not out loud when you do. People think you're weird. It happens to me all the time, but that's okay. And so you're having this ongoing conversation. It becomes part of your life, and you just get used to hearing the voice of God. You get used to sharing your heart with God. You get used to communicating with Him more and more and more. It becomes a 24/7 thing, to the point where you start communicating with God even when you're sleeping. I mean, dreams and visions. How many of you read about dreams and visions in the Bible? Okay, if not, read the Bible. It talks about dreams and visions. And even when you get older, you're going to have more of them. Praise God. Maybe that's one reason this is happening too. But I believe it's also because of a lifestyle of prayer. You'll start hearing from God. He'll start talking to you while you're sleeping, because the conversation has been started. It's been fostered. And it just keeps going on and on and on. Anyway. I got a little weird there, but it's real, okay? This is how much God wants to talk to us, that He'll even speak to you when you're asleep. Prayer is around the clock thing. When you wake up, when you drive to work, when you're doing your daily tasks, before you have a meeting, in the middle of a meeting. I mean, if you're sitting in a meeting and there's some important stuff happening and you don't feel clarity and you don't feel like you're hearing from the Lord on something, excuse yourself. Go out and spend some time, I mean like intense time with the Lord, before you make decisions on life. What's He saying? Throughout the day, sing songs of praise. Just worship Him. Turn the radio up loud and just start singing as loud as you can. Read His word. Pray continually. I do this kind of stuff. I've shared this before. I'll be walking through QT or Walmart. Everyone's weird in Walmart, so it doesn't matter in Walmart. But other places, you know, you walk through and I'll be singing or I'll be praying, and sometimes even praying in the Spirit, and that's when it really throws people off. But I don't mean to do it. It's not what I'm trying to do, but I'm having a conversation with God, and sometimes it gets audible and I don't know it's audible. But anyway, so y'all can bear with me and maybe help me with that. Hey, getting a little loud there. Anyway. We were created really for this kind of reality. Jesus said, Matthew 28:20, the Great Commission, He ends it all by saying, "And surely I am with you always." He is with you always. Do you want to have a conversation with Him? He's there with you always. Talk to Him. Listen to Him. He's there with you always. Is God a liar? No. He says He's there with you always. Are you living in that reality that He is right there with you? Or are you just walking around like, hey, I'm doing my own thing. I don't know where God is. Well, He's going to be at the dinner table tonight when I thank Him for the food. But until then, I'm doing my life. No, He is with you always. Is that the reality of how you're doing life and how you're thinking and how you're talking and processing things? Is that the reality that He's right there with you at that moment? I think when we start thinking what reality really looks like as a believer, what reality really looks like when we live by the Spirit and not by the flesh, when we start to really grasp all this, it will change our prayer life. It'll change how we do life at the very core. And it's all good. Prayer must become so common in our lives that it becomes second nature. So common that it never moves into the kind of show and performance that Jesus is warning about in Matthew chapter 6. Prayer is really just that simple and natural ongoing conversation with the Lord, day and night, night and day. A lifestyle of prayer. And it's a gift that God has for every one of His children. Every one of us can walk in that reality. There's no trick to developing a lifestyle of prayer. You learn to pray by praying. I coach basketball. 75 to 80% of our practice is running the floor, scrimmaging. The other 25% is instruction. Because my guys learn by doing. You get better by doing it. Like any other relationship, it develops as you spend time with that person, as you talk with them, as you learn to listen to them. That's when relationships go to that next deeper level. And that is our gift from God through prayer. As we begin to hand out the elements for communion, and every believer, everyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are welcome and encouraged to participate in this time of communion. You know, typically I lead and often talk from 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul talks about Jesus' body broken and what the cup represents of the new covenant. But I'm not going to do that this morning. As you're receiving the elements, I want to encourage you to have a conversation with God. Just you and God. Once you get the elements and you've passed it, just go to God. Listen for His voice. Let Him know what's on your heart right now. As the worship team might begin to sing, don't sing along. Don't even look at the screen. I want you to get with God right now. This is you and God. This is your conversation with God right now. And as you feel led, just take the elements on your own. Take the bread that represents the broken body of Christ, so that your life no longer needs to be broken, but whole in Christ Jesus. And take the cup, which is that new covenant that you now have in Christ Jesus. Do that on your own. But right now, spend time with God. He wants to hear from you. And He wants to speak to you.